Scripture text this morning is from the first chapter of Peter, verses 2 through 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Good to see everyone. It's good to be back with you after spending time traveling to the Northwest. It was good to be with family there. And I have to say that when you visit Yellowstone, even in the month of June, be ready for snow. And it snowed and snowed. And Debbie and I got a kick out of the people that we looked around, and you could tell those who were not prepared for the weather. They had bought all the Yellowstone sweatshirts, pajama bottoms, raincoats. They were looking for anything to layer over them. And I'm thankful that my wife decided to look at the weather forecast before we left, so I was not one of those looking for sweatshirts. So, okay, a couple of things before we begin. Out there in the commons, you've noticed on the wall, it's that time of year again for back to school. And this year, the back-to-school supply drive is going to be somewhat different than we've done in the past. In the past, we've challenged ourselves to fill 250 backpacks to supply kids with the necessary needs of school supplies. Well, this year, the Yukon schools have contacted myself and the other congregations throughout Yukon. They're doing the very same. They're going to take the lead. They're going to take the charge. So what they have done is they have found a company that will provide them with a box full of supplies. And so that box with supplies is $35 per box. And so I'm going to challenge us, can we supply 250 boxes at $35 each? That's the challenge. That comes out to almost $8,700. And this is way beyond what the school was thinking. They thought they could get 150 boxes. And I said, well, you've undershot quite a bit. I mean, we handed out over 2,400 backpacks in this past year alone. So I think we can do that, church family, that if you're willing to do that, please stop by. I believe there is a QR code in the bulletin. You can do this on the app, or you can drop your money off at the church office. Just if you do as a check, please leave that memo line blank, because we want to do this right. So make the note for that. I also have the permission to embarrass someone. Lauren Schmidt, is she out here? Oh, of course, she's in the back. Okay. Well, today is Stetson and Lauren Schmidt's 12th anniversary. Stetson's in Africa, serving there, our country there, helping the country over there in Kenya with, I think it's an Ebola, what's it called? Outbreak. Thank you. Yes. So he's serving with our military there, helping Kenya. And so make sure you give Lauren an extra hug today for 12 years. And I'm sorry I didn't get to embarrass her, but we'll make another run at it. All right. So, yes, it's been brought up quite a bit this morning that we are a nation celebrating 250 years. So I was talking with a friend of mine. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Ricky Torres. So him and I were talking, and I was kind of running this through my mind, and I'm glad he kind of agreed with me without knowing he was agreeing with me. We live in a nation that has a history of freedoms. I remember back when the country was celebrating 200 years. Sorry, kids, I can't go back further than that. But I know many of you can go further back, and I know many of you can remember that celebration in 1976, our 200th anniversary. And remember back then, they said that we were the only nation that could celebrate 200 years. Well, here we are at 250. So I thought I would do this. Let's take a look of the 250 years before and the reason I want to do this, and I'll get to it in just a moment, but we get at 1776, when everything started, we get the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. We have the Revolutionary War, where General George Washington led the Continental Army to victory over Britain. We get the Constitution, which was ratified in 1788. Then we have this expansion, industrialization, and division in the periods of 1800 to 1860. Louisiana Purchase in 1803, where President Thomas Jefferson doubled the nation's size by purchasing this territory from France. We have the Manifest Destiny, settlers pushed west toward the Pacific coast. We have the sectional rift, where the national economy became starkly divided between industrializing the North and the cotton-growing, slave-dependent South. We have the Civil War and Reconstruction from 1861 to 1877. The Civil War, where the dissension over slavery led 11 Southern states to secede from the nation, cost over 600,000 lives. Abolition of slavery, President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, and the 13th Amendment, which ended slavery. We have the Reconstruction. The federal government attempted to rebuild the South and integrate millions of newly freed black Americans into society. We have the Gilded Age and the rise of the global power, industrial boom, factories, railroads, innovators like Thomas Edison transformed the U.S. into a manufacturing giant, urbanization and immigration. Millions of Europeans and Asian immigrants arrived, reshaping American cities and culture. We have the World War I. Leaving behind its traditional isolationism, the U.S. entered the global conflict in 1917, helping the Allies secure victory. We have the boom, the bust, and the global conflict, the Roaring Twenties, the Great Depression of 1929 stock market crash. World War II followed the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. Then we have the Cold War and the Civil Rights era. We have superpower rivalry, where U.S. engaged in a tense, decades-long ideological conflict against the Soviet Union, leading to wars in Korea and Vietnam, civil rights movement, the space race, where we became the first country to land on the moon. And then, of course, we come to our digital age and modern era, the tech revolution, the rise of the internet, war on terror, the tragic September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, social and political division. You can see that this country has a rich history. Matter of fact, our history is for us to remember. That's one thing God always told the children of Israel. Remember. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. I believe he's telling us even today, as Christians in this nation, remember who you are, where you have come from, what you have gone through. A matter of fact, Ronald Reagan, when he was inaugurated as governor of California, he stated this: "Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by way of inheritance. It must be fought for, defended constantly by each generation." That's what Ricky and I were talking about, because what becomes more important, that yes, freedom is one generation away, but what's even more important is the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our children. We cannot be a nation like Israel when they got into the promised land. There was a generation that grew up and did not know the Lord. That can't be us today. So we have to become, as Brother Tom read, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Is that the life we're living? are we so caught up in our own history of the past 250 years that we're forgetting who we are to be? So he tells us we are a chosen race. So what's that mean, a chosen race? I mean, Peter was writing this. He was quoting Moses' words from Exodus chapter 19. Moses was telling the children of Israel that God chose them not because they were some great nation, not because of who they were, that God chose them because he loved them and because of his promise to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Jacob. God was keeping his promises that he made to Abraham, and so God was revealing his faithfulness. You see, Peter was taking that very same words that Moses was talking to the Israel, and Peter was taking it and giving it to the church. At the time, the church was made up of Jews and Gentiles. God chose you and me, not because there's something special about us, not because we come from a great number, but God chose you and me because he loves us. And John said this in his gospel, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, everything that we are here in this place and who we are as a community is because of God. Everything that has taken place, it was by God's design, by God's plan, by God's favor, and God's grace. So we have to focus on who we are because of God. And I think that's vitally important for us to make sure our children are aware of that. I want us to remember that there's a difference between a religious activity as coming to this building every Sunday morning and Wednesday night versus a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have that relationship and you come to know God, then this togetherness has more meaning. It comes with a purpose. But we're not just a chosen race, Peter says. We're a royal priesthood. Think about this. When Moses spoke these words in Exodus 19, this was prior to the law given at Mount Sinai. This was prior to the Levites being chosen as the ones to take care of the tabernacle. This was prior to Aaron being appointed as the high priest of Israel. Moses was talking to the children of Israel because Israel was to be a nation of priests to the surrounding nations around them. That's what we are to be. We, as the church, are to be a royal priesthood. So what does that mean? It means that we are to mediate the presence and the blessings of the Lord to the people around us, the exact same way Israel was supposed to do that. Peter applies this to the church, for we are to conduct ourselves in accordance to God's word. We, the church, are to bring the knowledge of God to the world. I mean, this is what Jesus gives us. We call this the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The key ingredient for this to be successful is relationships. As you're out into the world, because let's identify what the world is. The world is anywhere outside of this gathering. When we step out of these doors of this building, we are in the world. And as we go into the world, we notice souls and individuals who are seeking. So it's our responsibility to build a relationship with those individuals, introducing them to Jesus, helping them understand what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Not a fan, but a follower. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then continuing in that relationship, you're guiding them through the Word of God that shows them how they are to live. The very same thing God was doing at Mount Sinai for the children of Israel. He brings them out of Egypt with all that power and all that might to bring them to the Mount Sinai, and he gives them the law and the commandments so they know how to behave as human beings. And for us too, the Word of God is the very same thing. God is teaching us through his Word how to live in such a way that we draw others into that relationship with Jesus. So we're just not a chosen race. We're not just a royal priesthood, but we're a holy nation. A nation that lives among other nations, just like Israel. The lives of Israel was to be a light to those nations. Because Moses said, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today?" This was in Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 and 8. So Peter tells us that, tells the church, it is by our behavior that we will reveal our good deeds so that they will glorify God. Jesus tells us, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love for one another." Think about this for a moment. If people who are not a part of the church community and looking for a church community, but they come to know us, but all we do is complain and bicker and fight with one another, what's that tell them about the church community? There's no love. But love is about the relationship. It's not about a feeling. It's about the relationship that no matter what happens, we will maintain that relationship. And so that's why it's vitally important as a holy nation that we set ourselves apart by how we take care of one another. Peter also tells us that we're a treasured possession. Each and every one of us needs to remember that God created each one of us to have an intimate and loving relationship with him, not just for the here and now, but forever. Jesus died on the cross because the blood of bulls and goats only gave them any earthly forgiveness, where Jesus' blood on the cross gives us an eternal forgiveness. So Peter states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." A treasured possession God wants to have and to hold and to be with him forever. And our children's eternal life is based on how we conduct ourselves and how we relate to the very presence and the blessings of God to them so that they can know him. Because Jesus said in his high priestly prayer of John 17, verse 3, he said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you as the one true God who sent his Son." You see, the relationship with God has to be now, And it has to be about knowing him. It's not knowing about him, but knowing him. Helping them to walk with him, to learn from him, to seek him. Because he is not far away. Yes, we live in a country that has a valid history of 250 years. But we have a history that goes way back further than that. And it began at the cross. So let's live our lives as that chosen race, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that treasured possession, so our children can pass it on to their children. That's my lesson today. If there's anything we can do for you, come while we stand and sing.